Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on 750 KXL.
Okay, welcome back here on a Sunday afternoon, live and local from the downtown studios of Alpha Broadcasting. We are Business Briefing. This is the start of the business week every week here on KXL. And as I mentioned off the top of the show, special guest in studio here, Dave Moore from IRA Advantage LLC. Dave, thanks for taking time out of your weekend to share your insight with our audience. I'm excited for these next couple of segments because I hear so much about self-directed IRAs. First off, let's just get the basics. What is a self-directed IRA?
Well, first off, thanks for having me here. And I guess answer your question, it's really no different than any IRA. It's just a term. It's not a legal term. It's just a term that describes the setup of the account. So really, you're moving funds from a traditional custodian to a custodian that allows self-direction, and that's all it's involved.
Because I think so many people out there in our listening audience and beyond have the misconception once they put their money into an IRA, it's locked up or it's locked into that investment. That's obviously not the case.
You think of it this way, it's probably considered locked into the IRA. We're not taking money out of the IRA. We're just changing the investments that are able to be made. So people typically think of securities, of mutual funds, of that whole world. And if they want to buy real estate, they look at a REIT, but what's truly possible is for them to literally go out and buy real estate as an investment.
So for the folks out there who are just tuning in, Dave Moore from IRA Advantage LLC in studio, let's talk about your typical client. Who are they? Where are they coming from? I mean, what's the makeup?
Well, I guess in general, the majority of them are probably people that have retirement accounts between $50,000 and $100,000. The smallest we've done is roughly $20,000. We're working on one now that's $7 million. But usually what happens is they come to us. Somebody has said, hey, you can't do this. Somebody's told them, hey, come talk to these people. And they come in and we talk to them. They find out it's possible. And we try to get them to think ahead and know that the process takes 2 to 4 weeks. And so they get the information, go through it, and then we won't hear from them until they have something that they've got a target on. And now they have to get it done.
And you talked about those misconceptions. What typically are they?
Well, that they've been told by any number of people that they can't do this and that it's against the law. And the reality is it's been possible since the mid-70s. So if you look at what you can and can't buy, the only things you can't buy are certain collectibles and life policies. That's it. So if it's not specifically prohibited, it's therefore allowed. And if we look at real estate, anything that's not for personal use and held for investment should be something that's definitely a opportunity for them.
Dave Moore from IRA Advantage LLC in studio. This is Business Briefing on News Radio 750 KXL here on October 10th as we continue through the show. I want to kind of shift gears just a little bit. And you had mentioned that you had people with as little as $20,000 or up to $7 million. When you talk about buying real estate, how are you buying it? Is it individual properties or are these real estate investment trusts? What's the makeup of that investment?
Well, they're buying typically individual properties, and they're typically buying them by themselves and typically with no debt on those properties. But the interesting thing to understand is that you literally can get financed with these properties depending on the type and size, and we have different sources for that. There's not you can't walk in your local bank and get that done, but there are definitely sources there, and they open up tremendous opportunities.
How does that work when you're so you come in with a little bit of money on your own? You do the fine. So it basically is a traditional transaction from a purchase. You're just doing it within the IRA. Is that correct?
Correct. Probably 99% of the people we work with actually have us create what's called an IRA LLC. So through a series of steps, we actually shift funds from the traditional custodian into a self-directed custodian. After that's been done, or I should say simultaneously as that's being done, we're creating a limited liability company that ultimately has the IRA or a series of IRAs as its members, and the IRA owner can honestly be the manager of that LLC. So after that fund's been, after that transfer's happened, we're going to instruct the custodian to make an investment in the LLC, funding a bank account, and then they literally can write a check to buy that next investment.
Interesting. So let me ask you this then, Dave. Do you run into issues with financial advisors who don't understand this? That's kind of a loaded question, isn't it?
Well, I think that, you know, we have to look at it a couple of different ways. Some of them might not understand it, and there are definitely others that don't like it. I mean, we've got people that are saying, you know, they've looked at what's happened to their, you know, their 401s and said, gee, you know, I need to do something else. And we don't buy or sell investments for people. We provide the conduit out of what they don't want into what they do want. And, you know, depending on how, you know, the advisors feel and how they feel about real estate, I've got advisors that really believe in real estate and like real estate, and they're going to say you should have somewhere between 20 and 40% of that retirement account in real estate, and maybe that's not in a REIT, and those people are okay with it. Others are going to just say, gee, you know, that's all money leaving my account, my management. I'm not happy about it.
You took the words right out of my mouth, because that's what we face in the insurance world with estate planning, where you'll get advisors out there who say, oh, well, no, don't do that. Or they'll instruct an attorney to come up with some harebrained scheme to get around the estate tax just because they don't want the money coming out of their management account and into, say, a cash value life insurance policy that might provide millions of dollars in liquidity upon the passing of the Generation 1 individuals. So we run into the same things. And I guess we're all kind of looking at that campfire from a different seat around the campfire. But
certainly.
Definitely. I would think that, you know, that those advisors have got to be kind of freaking out when they say, hey, well, that's going to leave my investment account and you're buying real estate. Well, gosh, it's a horrible time to buy real estate. That's what we're hearing from some people. I tend to disagree with that, though. How about you?
Well, I think you've got to look at where you believe we are in a particular market. I think that, you know, from my perspective, if you're buying a stock, you're paying whatever the price is at that date, at that time you make that purchase or sale, whether it's the top or the bottom of the market. Real estate's a little bit different. Real estate, the bottom of the market might not be the price you pay for it. It's going to be an aggregate of the price you pay and the interest rate and, you know, a variety of other things. But, you know, the thing that's interesting about real estate is let's say we're not at the bottom. Well, you know, it might go down a little bit. If it's something that's cash flowing, the property doesn't necessarily have to be going up in value to be making you money. If you don't have any debt on it, it can't go away. If you've got income off it, it's going to be helping you do some things. So, you know, that's something to consider. But we try to stay out of that where's the top, where's the bottom game. But I feel pretty good about certain portions of the real estate market, I think, have a way to go down. And I think others are bouncing back.
I would agree with you. Dave Moore from IRA Advantage LLC in studio. If you'd like to learn more, website is iraadvantage.net. This is a very interesting topic because I think so many people out there, as you mentioned off the top of your segment, I mentioned in our first segment, have been burned by the stock market. And I think the one thing that I've seen over the past decade that people tend to ignore, and I've always thought of investments from the standpoint of where's the best tax advantage? Granted, we've been in an extremely low tax environment over the past decade, thanks to the Bush tax cuts. Regardless of your political affiliation, we've been paying less taxes and the economy was booming. Again, credit bubble notwithstanding. We're heading into an environment now, Dave, where obviously we're going to be paying higher taxes. From an investment standpoint, you really want to be positioned where you have the biggest tax advantages, right?
Oh, I would agree. And I think that's one of the tricky things that people need to understand about IRA investment in real estate is that it's like any other IRA investment. I mean, if you personally own real estate, you're going to have the benefits of owning it today. You're going to have, hopefully, cash flow. You've got depreciation, interest deductions. You've got a variety of different tax reasons as well as economic reasons to do it. If the IRA owns the real estate, that's something that's it's not going to benefit you today. It's there for your retirement. So I think that you need to look at it. One of the advisors we dealt with a big account was telling his investor that if you took away the capital gains tax treatment or some of the other treatments of real estate, it was a real bummer as an investment. Well, I don't necessarily believe that.
No way. I mean, that's been our investment was buy residential real estate. You know, it's taken a big hit, obviously, the last couple of years, but over the, you know, next 10 or 20 years, I'd rather pay capital gains on the sale of that at even 20 or 25% than ordinary income at 45 or 50 or who knows what it will be here in the state of Oregon, you know, in the next decade.
And regardless, whatever the investment is, I think you just have to look at it as whether it's securities or real estate. It doesn't change the tax treatment of it if it's in your IRA. I mean, you're really looking at same situation either way. So the question ultimately is, you know, where do you feel you're going to do best?
Good stuff. Dave Moore from IRA Advantage LLC. Time for us to take a break here at the bottom of the hour when we continue more on self-directed IRAs as Business Briefing continues on News Radio 750 KXL.